Amen. So tonight I'm going to preach a sermon entitled The Christian's Day of Vengeance. The Christian's Day of Vengeance. And I get this because of the fact that just recently there was another Day of Vengeance that was planned and was canceled. And that Day of Vengeance was actually planned by the LGBTQ community. Who heard about the Trans Day of Vengeance? Nobody. Okay, well, this one person. All right. Well, you know, this was a big deal. This is in the news. Several, you know, multiple major news outlets have put out a story about this rally that this trans community, by trans, I mean transvestite, because that's what they are, was planning to get together and have a day of vengeance. Now, you say, what in the world? What, you know, that sounds kind of ominous, doesn't it? When someone starts saying, hey, we're going to have a day of vengeance, you know, especially those of us who read our Bible and know what vengeance means, you know, that's kind of an ominous thing to say, that, hey, we're going to have a day of vengeance. And of course, they did this, you know, in light of, you know, the recent shooting that just took place at the school in, was it Tennessee? Yeah. Tennessee, I'm drawing a blank now, right? It was in Tennessee at that Presbyterian private school, where one of these trans people went in and killed six people, you know, several children and a couple adults. And they're not, you know, they don't want to say it's a hate crime. They don't want, but it is. I mean, you know, they don't want to say why, what the motive was. Okay. So this takes place, and this just goes to show you the stupidity of these people, why the Bible calls them brute beasts. Okay. Because who in their right mind is going to, you know, have an event like that take place and then schedule an event called the Trans Day of Vengeance? You know, and then they get all this backlash and they end up canceling it, although they did carry through with it over there in L.A. They had their little get-together, their parade or whatever, their Day of Vengeance, whatever it is, you know, in L.A. Something about those L.A. fags. I don't know what it is out there. Bunch of bomb-throwing, Day of Vengeance-holding faggots in L.A. That's what they are, okay? You say bomb-throwing. Yeah, remember when they bombed our French church in L.A.? Do you remember that? Okay. You know, and I'm preaching this because, you know, we need to be reminded of who the real bullies are in this world. You know, because we often get accused as Bible-believing Christians of being the bullies, of being the bad guy, of being those that are provoking other people. But, you know, it's kind of funny when I hear that because I've never bombed anybody. You know, I've never held a grudge for 20 years and gone into my old school and murdered children because I was bullied or whatever. You know, I've never bombed a church. In fact, I've never even protested some fag rally anywhere. I've never done that. You know, I've been to multiple churches. I've been to several churches over the years where I've seen a bunch of these Fruit Loops, a bunch of these rainbow-colored freaks that stand out there and yell some of the most obscene things and say and try to provoke people into getting into fist fights and go out there with their sidewalk chalk and vandalize private property. It seems to me like the real bullies in America today are the LGBT community. That's who the real bullies are. And they're using public office and they're using public policy to strong arm everybody into accepting their filth. You know, and I'm just getting up, I'm gonna tell you right now, I never will. I'm never gonna roll over for these people. I'm gonna always call them what they are, a bunch of freaks, a bunch of God-hating reprobate sodomites that hate God and they've got it coming. You know, they got the Christian Day of Vengeance coming. And I'm also going to preach this too because we need to have a proper view of what vengeance is. Okay, and I'm going to and how we should look upon, you know, the vengeance that's going to be taken upon these people, and it will be taken. But let me just quickly read to you an article, just be obvious because everybody's kind of in the dark here on this Day of Vengeance. Okay, the Trans Day of Vengeance was canceled due to a credible threat to life and safety. Okay, when you first read that, you think, oh, somebody was concerned about the fact that these sodomites are going to get together, these trans folk, and they're going to be a threat. And what they're actually the ones that canceled it because they felt threatened, that their lives were threatened, their safety was threatened. And rightfully so, they should feel that way, okay? Now, again, I'm not advocating that we ever take matters into our own hands and lash out at people physically, okay? But, you know, when you call an event the Day of Vengeance after a mass, you know, after a shooting where children are murdered by a trans person. And, you know, don't be surprised if some people make some threats towards you. And they think, oh, they must be Christians. You know, there's plenty of just normal just run-of-the-mill, average, just everyday American people out there that are fed up with this crap, that are fed up with this agenda. Not Bible-believing Christians, not independent fundamental Baptists that are getting fed up with, just the normal average person in America today is getting fed up with these people. You go on these, you know, you go look at the comment sections on these YouTube channels where they're, you know, these major news outlets are reporting on these things. You know, there was that bill that they passed in Kentucky just recently where they made it illegal for people to, under any circumstance, to administer hormones or operations to minors to help them transition. You know, and then you go, and all these people are up in arms about it. And then you go read the comment section. Everyone's like, go Kentucky. I believe it was Kentucky. You know, all these comment sections with this tens of thousands of likes. It just tells me that, you know, the most people in this country and in this world today are sick of these people. They're sick and tired of having, of being bullied by a bunch of, by the alphabet people. Okay? Let me just read from this article. Less than a day after vowing to go ahead with a rally in Washington, D.C., advocating for transgender rights, a group of organizations that had been planning the event has canceled the Trans Day of Vengeance over a credible threat to life and safety. The Trans Radical Activist Network, TRAN, I mean, just the name, Radical Activist. You know, that's who these people are, okay? And let me just tell you something. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. You know, they are the bullies. They are the radical activists. It's not me. It's not me getting up and just preaching the old tried and true King James Bible, the same Bible passages that have been preached down through the millennia. It's not, we're not the radicals. They are. They're the radicals. They even call themselves the radical activists. You know, and all these, there's all these tweets that had to be taken down by all these transvestites and others who were making very violent proclamations against Christians. It's hard to find them, but, you know, Twitter took a lot of them down. And, you know, I saw a few where there was, you know, this tranny with pink hair, pink shirt, pink battle gloves, full, you know, tactical vest and an AR-15 talking about kill a Christian. Punch a Christian in the face, body slam a Christian baby into a trash can. Their words, and they're just, you know, they're just spewing out hate. They're just spewing out violence. They're the ones that are, you know, calling for physical violence. They're the ones that are holding rallies called the Day of Vengeance. And as much as I'd like to just chalk that up to them being idiots, you know, sometimes you wonder when you see all these, you know, these violent call to arms that they're having on their side. And it's just funny because we're the ones that always get blamed for that. We're always the ones that are, oh, you're inciting violence. It's like, no, we're not. Okay, and by the end of the sermon, you know, I'll make it perfectly clear that we've never have and never will incite a call to violence. And it's actually them that are doing it. And they're the ones that are being protected. I mean, good night. You know, you were telling me about the New York Times was apologizing for misgendering the shooter? A murderer of children? Oh, let's not get their pronouns wrong. It's like, what twilight zone are we living in? This is modern day America. This is the whirlwind of filth and iniquity that has just taken over this nation. Where you have these major news outlets that are just like, oh, I know they just killed a bunch of people, but let's make sure we get their pronouns right. It's like, what world am I living in? So you have the Trans Radical Activist Network. And I'm sorry, I had to get this off my chest, okay? So it's going to be a little ranty tonight, but, you know, if I don't get this off my chest, then it's going to fume. And, you know, and several other people have expressed frustration over this. So we're going to have our own little rally here tonight, and we're going to have our own little, fest of just getting it off our chest as well. So the Trans Radical Activist Network, short TRAN, a collective of transgender activist groups, had previously noted that it had received threats, which it was reporting to the police. The collective suggested it had become the target of blame for school shooting on Monday in Nashville, Tennessee. TRAN had previously said that the Day of Vengeance march would go ahead despite the shooting. The police have said was perpetrated by Audrey Elizabeth Hale. Now, who is transgender? I mean, I don't know if they should issue an apology for just assuming this shooter's gender here in this article. In which three nine-year-olds and three members of staff at the Covenant School were killed. It had rejected any connection between the event and the mass shooting, arguing that the event was about unity, not inciting violence. Their words. It's about you not inciting violence. But then it's funny because then you hear the language that they use. They put out the statement on Wednesday, and organizers said they are horrified by the acts of violence committed and said the vengeance in the name of their rally means fighting back with vehemence. We are fighting false narratives. It's not about violence. It's just about fighting. It's like, hello? Fighting back with vehemence, fighting against false narratives, criminalization, and eradication of our existence. Who's trying to eradicate these people? This is the protected class that lives in America today. They've got all the media, politicians on their side. It's like, who's eradicating you? No one's eradicating these people. It's a false narrative. That's the false narrative. And then they have about how they got all these screenshots that were sent to them. They forwarded to Newsweek, where people are calling them a terrorist outfit. Well, when you're calling for violence, that's when you're terrorizing people. When you're calling yourself a radical activist network, it kind of sounds, like you're a terrorist. Can you blame people? Look, I'm not saying we should go after these people like this, but they were getting messages, this group, that they were being told they should be slaughtered, and that those organizing the group should go off yourself, meaning go kill yourself. That's what people were saying to them. You know why people are saying that? Because people are fed up with these people. Good job fueling hate. Now kids are dead, one anonymous user told the group. Another accused them of having inspired the murder of children. And the reason they're writing this is because they're spinning it all. They're saying, oh, look, the poor trans community is being blamed. Don't you feel bad for these people that are getting all these death threats and things like that? No, I don't feel bad. Because people are fed up. People are fed up with your transvestite story hours. People are fed up with your parades. People are fed up with all the filth that you're promoting to our children in our public schools. They're fed up with all the filth that's being promoted and all the children's programming. They're fed up with it. So no, I don't feel sorry when a bunch of bullies get bullied. In a statement on Twitter on Thursday evening, Our Rights DC, one of the trans constituent organizations, said the rally would now not go ahead due to the threats and that the safety of the trans community is our first priority. So it goes on here, yada, yada, yada. And eventually they did stage it online and would be called the Trans Day of Liberation, right? Like they're some, oppressed class of people or something like that. But let me just go ahead and remind you of some things, especially when it comes to this topic of mass shootings, right? Because a lot of times people might get the impression that, somehow it's, biblical teaching or something like that is what's inspiring people. Because we get that leveled against us all the time. Oh, you guys are the ones that are inciting hatred. You're the ones that are calling people to take up arms. But, the fact is the vast majority of shootings that take place, mass shootings, are done by atheists and agnostics. It's not a bunch of Christians going out there because, we have guiding principles in the Word of God that tell us to not take vengeance into our own hands and to not kill and not to murder. And we're going to get into it, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but, we're not the ones that are going out there and shooting up people. We're not the ones that are out there calling people to arms and organizing rallies with terms like vengeance in them. Anyway, I just want to get over, I'm not going to read any more from this article. Let's just get into the Bible tonight, because that's really what matters. The world is going to fret, wring their hands over things, but we're just going to go to the Word of God, and we're going to get into the Word of God tonight. Let's go. Keep something where you are there in Psalm 94, but go back to Luke chapter 4, because again, the title of the sermon is The Christian's Day of Vengeance, right? And I kind of gave you the background there, where is that coming from? Well, it's in response to the Trans Day of Vengeance. They want to have their day of vengeance, whatever that means to them, however we're supposed to take that. Well, let me just go ahead and tell you that the Christian has his day of vengeance too. If you're there in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. Now notice he puts a period there. That's where Jesus stopped. It says in verse 20, and he closed the book and gave it again up to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, if you know your Bible, go to Isaiah 61. That's where he was reading from, Isaiah 61. So Jesus, when he reads, he gets to verse 19 there and says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But when you go to Isaiah chapter 61, that's now where it ends. You know, Jesus at that time, he's saying, here's what I'm here to do. I'm here to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captives, for the recovering the sight of the blind, and so on and so forth. He's there to minister to people. But what people often forget when it comes to Jesus is that he's going to take vengeance one day. And that is our day of vengeance. When the Lord takes vengeance, that is the Christian's day of vengeance. And it will come. And it will not be canceled. No matter how many threats, no matter how many tweets are sent out, no how many articles are forwarded to some news outlet, the day of vengeance for the Christian will come. And it's important for us as Christians to remember this and to understand this. God will take vengeance. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath appointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's where Jesus stopped over there in Luke. But here in Isaiah, he goes on and says, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Which tells me this, is that that part of the prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. Jesus did come and do all these things leading up to it. But then he stopped there in Luke where he was reading and said, not yet. But what the Bible tells us, what this Bible is showing us here, is that the day of the vengeance of our God is yet to come. The Christian's day of vengeance is scheduled and will move forward. To comfort all that mourn. To comfort all that are sick and tired of all the oppression, sick and tired of all the iniquity, sick and tired of all the wickedness that just seems to just be given free reign in this world, that are just mourning over these things, you know, that we will be comforted when the day of vengeance of our God comes. You know, it's going to comfort me. I look forward to it. See, you know, because obviously, you know, sometimes you turn on, I mean, I honestly didn't want to preach about this subject. I thought about preaching about it this morning, and I just changed my mind last minute because it's just such a, topic. But it's something, you know, June's coming, don't worry. We'll have to cover that plenty, you know, during Pride Month. It seems like it's Pride Month is every month anymore. You know, it's a hard sermon to preach, but we have to be reminded as God's people, we have to preach these things because you know what? We as God's people need to be comforted in this world and to be reminded that there is a day of vengeance that is coming to this world. And to those of us that look for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is a source of comfort for us. That is something that we look forward to. At least we ought to. God will take vengeance. You see it there in Isaiah. It's promised. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter number 32. God has promised to take vengeance. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 32. I'll begin reading. Their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. That's what the wicked is like. You know, their vine is the vine of Sodom. And we know what Sodom is all about. Their wine is the poison of dragons, their cruel venom of asps. That's what they serve up. That's what they're dishing out. Cruelty and poison. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. This is the Lord speaking. This is, you know, the song of Moses here. And this is the Lord, I believe, speaking, saying, to me belongeth vengeance. And look, that's what we've always said. Every time I ever preach on this topic, I always have to put that little asterisk in there and say, hey, vengeance belongs to the Lord. Because that's what the Bible says. And I don't just say that to get myself out of hot water. I say that because of the fact that, you know, that is a source of comfort to us. Those of us that are mourn, that are wearied with this wicked world that we're living in, hey, take comfort in the fact that vengeance will come, that we will have our day. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense, meaning he's going to give them what they deserve. That's what it means to recompense somebody. Give them what they got coming. Their foot shall slide in due time. It seems like they're getting away with it, but you give it long enough, they'll slide. For the day of their calamity is at hand. What's been going on for a long time? Yeah, but from God's sitting, their calamity, it's at hand. It's right there. It's within hand's reach. It's not going to be very long for him. And the things that shall come upon them, make haste. It's coming fast. Look, the day of vengeance, the day of the vengeance of the Lord our God is at hand. It's coming to the wicked quicker than they think. Even if it goes on for another 1,000 years, every single wicked reprobate is only one breath away from the vengeance of God. That's how at hand it is for them. The moment they close their eyes in death, they're going to wake up in the wrath of God in hell, in fiery torment. That's what the Bible teaches. Verse 41, if I whet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. And mark it down, these people hate the Lord God. They hate him. Notice they never go after the Muslims. You know, it's the Muslims that are actually throwing them off buildings. It's the Muslims that are actually going into their nightclubs and shooting them up. It's not Christians doing it, but who do they go after? The Christians. Why? Because they hate God. And because their father, the devil, knows who the real enemy is. And it's not someone, you know, it's not Allah and his false religion. It's not Muhammad and his false religion. It's the Lord God. That's his real enemy. It's those of us that have the truth, that those of us that bring the gospel to the world. We're the real enemy. That's why we have to be, made out to be the bad guy. I will render vengeance to mine enemies. They're the enemies of God. Look, when you make yourself an enemy of God's people, all you're really doing is making yourself an enemy of the Lord. Verse 42, I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations. He's talking about all the blood he's going to shed, all the vengeance he's going to take, and then he says, rejoice, O nations, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants. Why should we rejoice? Because God is going to take vengeance on his enemies. We should rejoice over that. That's something you rejoice over. That's what the Bible says. And I will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Go over back to Psalm 94 where you were. We're just looking at passages that just guarantee us that one day God is going render vengeance unto his enemies. He's going to give them their, they're going to get their, what's coming to them at the hand of God. Their comeuppance. Psalm 58, verse 10, the righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So the man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, there is a God that judgeth in the earth. What is the reward for the righteous? The fact that there is a God that judgeth in the earth. What is our reward? The fact that God is going to take vengeance. What are we going to rejoice over? The fact that God is going to slay his enemies. And that we don't have to take anything into our own hands. It's guaranteed. And victory is sure. Psalm 94, verse 1, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Who does vengeance belong to? To the Lord. Doesn't belong to me. Doesn't belong to you. Now, it is the Christian's day of vengeance because it's the Lord's day of vengeance. But vengeance belongs to him. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. You know, we should want to see this. That's what the psalmist is expressing. He wants to see the day of vengeance. Let me tell you something, so do I. I want to see the day of vengeance upon God's enemies. And I comfort myself and I rejoice in the fact that I know one day I will. You know, that's why I don't have to sit there and fret over what all the wicked are doing. Sit there and worry about what all these wicked people are doing. I know they got it coming. That's why I don't have to sit here and fret myself over evil men, over the workers of iniquity. That's what the Bible tells us, fret not thyself about the workers of iniquity. They'll soon be cut down as the grass. It's going to be like God just starting a weed whacker. That's how simple it is going to be for God. It's going to be like mowing his lawn. Lift up thyself, thou, and judge the earth. Excuse me, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. To the proud. Who is it that is just all about pride today? What's the name of that flag that they wave? The pride flag? Is it? You know what? Render a reward to them, Lord, for all their iniquity, for all their hatred of the Lord God. Render a reward to the proud. I'm looking forward to it when God does it. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And the workers of iniquities boast themselves. Look, they boast themselves today. They flaunt their filth. They flaunt it in front of everybody. They put it out there and say, who are you to judge us? They boast themselves. They speak hard things. But God is going to render a reward to them. Amen. And I look forward to it. They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Oh, your God and your Bible, whatever. There's nothing to fear. Understand, ye brutish among the people and ye fools, when will ye be wise? You know, we went over this the other night. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Look, God sees every single thing these wicked people are doing down here. He sees all the filth and depravity and the iniquity that they're boasting themselves in, and God will render vengeance upon them. It will come. He chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. You know why we're not the ones that are rallying at their parades? You know why we're not the ones that are calling for threats of violence against their community? It's because we've been taught out of the law of God. What have we been taught? That vengeance belongeth unto me, saith the Lord. You know, that's why I never feel the need to go out and go down to some pride parade and yell at these people. One who wants to go down there and, you know, see that filth. I feel like I'd have to pull my eyeballs out of my head after that. I'd want to pour bleach in my eyes after going down to one of those things. Oh, I can't believe you say it. Oh, you can't believe I'd say that, where they go down there and they're literally nude in front of children? They literally go up and down the street. I'm saying nude in front of children. Where they're going to have these transvestite drag shows and bring children into these places, bring them into gay bars, fag bars. Sorry, I used the word gay. You know, but oh, how dare I say anything against that? Where was I? Anyone remember? What was I saying? You know, God has promised to take vengeance, and we should rejoice in that. That vengeance belongs on the Lord our God. See, how do you know God has promised to take vengeance? How about the fact that God has taken vengeance? God's already done this multiple times. Look, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. He's known by that. I mean, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, Israel itself. You know, and those, that's just the many other nations that the Bible mentions. That's just what's mentioned. You know, God takes vengeance. God lifts people up and brings them down, including whole nations. God has taken vengeance. You know what that tells me is that God will take vengeance. Go over to Nahum. Actually, you know what? Just go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. The Bible says in Micah, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off the horses out of the midst of the land. I will destroy the chariots. I will cut off the cities of thy land and throw down all thy strongholds. I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so I will destroy thy cities, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. That's what God promised to Micah. And look, God follows through on that. He followed through on it. God, how do I know that God will take vengeance? The fact that God has taken vengeance. The burden of Nineveh and Nahum. The book of the visions of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. That's the God that we serve, folks. That's the God of the Bible. Welcome to the King James Bible. It's a God of vengeance. It's a God of jealousy. It's a God of wrath. You know, and that's the other thing we always get leveled. Oh, where's the love of Christ? It's like, have you ever read the Bible? You know, people just say, oh, that's not the love of God. You don't even know the first thing about the love of God. Oh, I can't believe you'd say something that's so unloving. Well, oh, I guess you're more loving than God. You know, God is a multifaceted individual. God is a person. God isn't just all love, folks. Obviously, God is love. The Bible says God is love. But you know, God is more than love. You know, God is love because of the fact that he takes vengeance on the wicked. You know, it'd be a very unloving thing to let the wicked go free, wouldn't it? It'd be very unjust and very unloving. But no, God does take vengeance on his adversaries. He does reserve wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and would not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. He drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. I mean, these are places that have come and gone that God poured out his vengeance upon them. How do I know that God's going to take vengeance? Because God already has taken vengeance. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. You know, God is literally going to burn this entire world. Literally. It's going to be the day when the elements melt with the fervent heat. And that's how I know God's going to take vengeance, because he already has. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. And I love this. The Lord is good. I mean, he's just melting hills. He's just drying this place up. He's destroying this city, wiping this one out. And he's just, the Lord is good. And amen, the Lord is good. It's good that God takes vengeance on the wicked. I love that about God. I love that God isn't just, you know, some pacifist, that he's not that, you know, he's not some stupid looking hippie that they try to make Jesus out into, some long-haired, dopey idiot. Looks like he just got done surfing. Some long-haired hippie. You know, his eyes are aflame as fire. His feet shine like brass out of the furnace. A two-edged sword comes out of his mouth. God is a God of vengeance, and I love him for it. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. You know, God is going to take vengeance. You might as well just get on God's good side, because he is a stronghold to them that trust in him. Get on God's good side. It's there. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end in place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. He's going to pursue his enemies. God is good because God takes vengeance, and God's vengeance is just every time. The vengeance that God executes is just every time. There's no appellate court with the Lord. You're not going to make an appeal. You're not going to go over his head. No one's going to question his judgment. What God does, it's right every time. Even Romans 3, look at verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commendeth the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? No, because if he was, how shall he judge the world? God's vengeance is just. You know, what does that mean to us? What does that mean for the Christian's day of vengeance? It means we don't take vengeance. We're not looking for a rally. We're not trying to organize down here and go out and you know, enforce, you know, biblical doctrine upon people. You know, we go out and we try to preach the gospel to our community. you know, I was reading another article. I didn't bring it with me just because I didn't want to lose you, but it was talking about this article about mass shootings. They did all these studies and things like that, and they saw one. They said that some of the things that actually deter it is when people get involved in religious communities. That mass shooters are typically these loners. There's people that are depressed and they're suffering from all these mental, you know, illnesses and things like that, but they're not people that are involved in communities. You know, coming to church, having an organization, being involved in your community is actually preventative. And yet we're made out to be the bad guys today. It's the media that tries to say, oh, it's all the Christians, all the right-wing political whatever that are, you know, they're that are fomenting all this against these people. And that's why they have to lash out the way that they do. This trans community. Actually, we're the antidote. You know, the problem with the world today is that they've gotten away from this book. The problem with the world today is that it's not because too many people are embracing this. It's because too many people have forgotten about what it says. That's the problem with the world today. This isn't to blame. This is the solution, friend. We don't take vengeance. That's what I love about the Lord and his vengeance. Is that we, you know, it's in his hands. And look, I've said this before. I'll say it again. God's going to do a way better job than I ever could. I can't open up the ground underneath somebody's feet and put them live into the pit. My mouth isn't the one that kindles the fires of hell. That's the Lord that does that. They're not going to be tormented in the presence of me and the angels. They're going to be tormented in the presence of the Lord and the angels. Amen. You know, God's the one that made hell. I mean, he's way better at taking vengeance on the wicked than I ever will be. We don't take vengeance. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 8. You know, just kind of in light of everything that we've heard. And, you know, this goes for anybody, trans or not, that would want to harm a child. And I'm pointing this out because it's so sickening to get on the news and see people trying to play the victim card over the fact that one of their members of the community that were, you know, went out there and committed this atrocity. And they're saying, oh, we don't want any backlash against us. And trying to make, you know, were they actually going into the, it was like the some government institution in Texas, and they're throwing themselves down and saying, protect trans children, protect trans children. It's like, what backwards world are we living in? It was a trans child, not even a child, an adult, who went in there with a rifle and shot Christian kids. What? But that's your response? And now you can, it's like, it just makes more sense. Brute beasts, that's what the Bible calls, stupid animals. They're trying to play the victim's card. I have no pity for people that do anything to children, that harm children in any way, shape, and form. No pity for them at all. You know, and we're living in a society now where child molesters can't be put to death. I mean, the most despicable and violent type of person in this world, it's illegal to put them to death in this country. You will not find a more despicable, more another person more deserving of death than a child molester, than a child rapist. You know, people are going to take advantage of the weakest among us. You won't find anybody more deserving of death than a reprobate like that. And yet, you know, what do they get today? You know, every time I bring it up, I point it out. Jared Fogle. You remember Jared Fogle? Subway guy? You know, eat fresh. You know, he's living up in some, you know, he's incarcerated for exploiting minors. You know, but he's, you know, I read that article. What's Jared doing these days? He's living in an open cell community in jail, you know, getting degrees, going to school. I mean, the guy's on vacation. He's not getting what he deserves yet. Matthew chapter 8. I had us go to the wrong passage. I'll just try to get it from memory. You know, the Bible says it would be better for a millstone to be hung on around the neck and be cast in the depth of the sea than to harm a little one which believeth in God. It would be better, and I wanted to point out this fact, that it would be better if you were someone who was going to harm a child. The Bible says, Jesus said it would be better to put a stone around your neck and to jump in the ocean before you did so. If you were somebody who was going to harm a child, it'd be better for you to just drown yourself. That's what Jesus said. You say, why is that? Because then at least you wouldn't have done that. You know, and when that doesn't happen, and when people do go ahead and harm children, and then God gets a hold of them, they're going to wish that they hadn't. There's going to be a special, you know, level of hell for somebody like that. There's going to be a whole nother level of torment for people who offend children and hurt children. Whether that's physically, or how about when they molest them in their minds by putting the filth that these people put in their minds? When they parade their filth in front of everybody, when they put it in the television shows, on the magazine racks, when my children have to walk through the airport and see these freaks walking around, these transvestites, you know what? They're molesting my children's minds. Because that's perversion, friend. It's perversion. They're perverts. And they have to walk around and just molest the minds of children and confuse children. You know what? They should put you know what would be better for them to do with their life? It'd be better for them to tie a rock around their neck and go jump in a lake. And say, I don't think that's very nice. Well, wait till God gets a hold of them. Because that's what Jesus said. It would be better for them to do that than to offend a little one, which believeth in me. Yeah, that would be better. Which again is why we don't have to take vengeance, because God will. That's the Christian's day of vengeance. It's when God takes vengeance. What do we do in the meantime? Romans 12. I should have you go there. Romans chapter number 12. We'll begin reading in verse 17. Romans 12. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. We don't recompense evil for evil. If it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's why we'll never take things into our own hands. Because one, we don't have to. Two, we're commanded not to. Now I'll say this. If you're going to inflict bodily harm upon myself or my family, it's on. See, what do you mean? Well, you know, that's why I come a packing. Everywhere I go, except in the airport, right? But I'll walk into Sprouts with the nine on my side. I don't care what policy is. You have to pat me down to find out what I got. And I'll tell you what, if somebody wants to physically, you know, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. There is a line you could cross. Well, I will solve your lead deficiency for you. You know, and this should be this. I need to say this too, because people, they walk into churches now and shoot up places. They'll walk into a church and just start, you know, and just open fire on innocent people. Well, you know, I'm not too worried about a faithful word, because you know, they might get a shot off and send somebody to heaven, but there's going to be about a dozen more rounds coming back at you, and you ain't going to heaven. You know, that's why I bring it up from pulpit, the fact that I carry, and the many people in this church carry. So I want that information to get out there. I want them to be afraid to come down here and try anything. I mean, I have it on me. I'm in the shower, strapped. I sleep with the pillow under my gun. Some of you sleep with the pillow under the gun. I put the gun on top of the pillow and sleep on that. But you know, as much as possible, I live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Let these fags have their heyday. Let them have it. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. They got it coming. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. I'll point out, it's if thine enemy, not God's enemy. Some fag comes to my door looking for a cup of sugar, I'm going to tell him to go kick rocks. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. James 3, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But the wrath of God works the righteousness of God. Better believe that. It is a righteous thing when God takes vengeance. Verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It's a righteous thing when God sticks up for his people. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So when do we, what do we rest? What are we waiting for? For Jesus to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And they're mighty for a reason. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Look, God's going to take vengeance on all those that do not obey the gospel. When he shall become to be glorified in the saints and to be mired in all them that believe. You know, some of them are going to be shrieking and running in terror when the Lord comes up. We're going to be admiring him. That's why I say, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's how it ends. You know, let the wicked have their day. The Lord's coming. And I say, come all the sooner. I'm looking forward to it. He'll be glorified in the saints. We're not going to go, oh, God, change your mind. No, don't. Leave him alone, God. We're going to like, no, go ahead. We've been waiting. We've been waiting for this day. We've been waiting for this day of vengeance, Lord. Execute judgment. Execute righteous judgment upon the wicked. That's what we'll be saying. You might not agree with that now, but you know, when you have the new body and you have the mind of Christ, it'll make perfect sense to you, and you will agree 100%. Yep, they are worthy, Lord. What do we do in the wait time? In the meantime, we wait. Somebody said, we wait. Go to, I got to wrap it up. Go to Matthew chapter 10. We wait for his son from heaven, the Bible says in verse 10, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We wait, because there is wrath coming. It's just that we've been delivered from it. Doesn't mean everybody has. Wrath is coming to this world. We know him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Jude 1, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about like around them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So what does God think about the Sodomite today? The same thing he thought about them in Sodom and Gomorrah in Abraham's day. They are set forth, Sodom and Gomorrah are set forth for an example of suffering vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. What do we do in the meantime? We wait and we put up with the hate that is leveled against us. And it is leveled against us. I mean, just go scroll through some, you know, go look at mainstream media. We are the enemy. Bible-believing Christians are the enemy today to the wicked. The target is on us. But that shouldn't surprise us. That's exactly what we were told was going to happen. Isn't that what Jesus said? Verse 24, Matthew chapter number 10. Did I have to go there? The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. If it is not enough for the disciple to be as his master and the servant to be as his Lord, it is enough, excuse me, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more should they call him of his household? Look, if they called Jesus the devil, how much more are they going to call those that follow him? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. God's going to take care of all that. God's going to expose it all. God's going to set everything right. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and whatever you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. Why am I preaching this? Because I was told to. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. You know, if they lose their life, that's all they've got. They die, they're going to go to hell. That's why they're so fearful. That's why somebody just sends them some, you know, menacing message on Twitter. Oh, let's cancel the event. In case someone actually follows through it and sends us where we're going anyway, straight to hell. You say, why are we so bold to preach this? Why are we so bold to just say, preach what the Bible says? Aren't you worried of them, retaliating? No, I'm not. Especially for what I've seen so far. I mean, it's alarming when you see some tranny on Twitter with an AR-15 saying kill Christians. That's a little concerning, you know? But even if it comes to that, so be it. Because I'm not supposed to fear them that can kill the body, but have no power to touch the soul. You know, I love that story. I believe it's true, where some guy came up to Brother John R. Rice after some meeting. He didn't like what he had to say and put a gun in his chest and said, "I'm going to kill you." And Brother Rice famously said, "You're threatening me with heaven," something to that effect. That's all they're threatening us with. They can kill the body. They can't touch the soul. My soul belongs unto the Lord. And honestly, what I've seen so far, I'm not really too worried about the body either. You know, you look at these rallies, it's just a bunch of pink-haired women and their soy boy boyfriends or whatever. The most threatening thing they've ever done is, you know, written obscenities on with sidewalk chalk or dressed up as a bat. And that's what they did up in Boise when I was out there, the reprobat. Points for cleverness, by the way. The reprobat. You think I'm worried about a guy who dresses up in a bat suit? That's what I'm supposed to be afraid of? And even if it was some, you know, jacked tranny with an AR-15, even then, we're commanded to not fear them. Because they can't touch the body. I mean, they can't touch the soul. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know who should be afraid? Is the tranny, the hater of God, the sodomite, the reprobate. And they are. The Bible says they're fearful. They should be. Because when this life ends, however it ends for them, they're going to hell. You know, Jesus warned us, hey, you know, the world's going to hate you. How are we going to tolerate that? How are we going to put up with the hate in this world that's directed at us? By taking solace in the fact that vengeance belongs unto the Lord, that it's promised. We know that it's promised because God has already taken vengeance. That's how we know God is going to take vengeance. We have that promise in his word. Go to John 16. We'll close there. He said, "Marvel not, brethren," in 1 John, "if the world hate you." Oh, I'm so shocked that a bunch of God-hating faggots hate me. I'm so shocked that some atheist on Twitter, you know, calls me a hate preacher and blasts me. I'm so shocked that, you know, some major news corporation, you know, deletes our channels on YouTube. Oh, what a shock. No, you shouldn't marvel at that. Of course they hate you. Of course they're going to hate us. We represent the Lord. We represent the truth that they can't stand. You know, that's why they've got to come down and protest. That's why they've got to leave the voicemails. That's why they got to write the emails. You know, these little wimps, these pansies, they get a few messages on Twitter, whatever, they shut their whole rally down. That's, you know, what the things that are being said to them, that's like every day at Faithful Words voicemail. That's every other day. You know, sometimes I thought about just putting a compilation together of all the voicemails that we get. You know, the things that have been said to man of God over the years about what the things they're going to do to them and their family and how they're going to do this and do that and all the threats. Yet I haven't seen a single man of God back down and cower. Because we're not afraid of what you're going to do in the body. You can't touch the soul. You know, but we have to be prepared for this hate. It's real. It's out there. It's going to be directed at us. Yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Promised. It shouldn't surprise us. The Bible says the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Look, and the vilest people are being exalted today and protected and praised and lifted up and put out there as something to be, you know, honored and respected. These vile people, they walk on every side. They're being promoted. But, you know, the wicked might walk on every side, but the wicked should also be turned into hell. How are we going to put up with all this? How are we going to put up with all the hate in the meantime before that day of vengeance? Solace yourself in the fact that we've already won. You know why I don't have to take vengeance into my own hands? Because I've already won. I've already won. It's already over. I already know the score. I've already looked at the scoreboard. We win. It might go into overtime, but you know what? We win. We have already won. John 16, verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace." What? Peace. Persecution. You're not above the Lord. They hate me. They're going to hate you. But I've spoken these things that you might have peace. Wait, you told us all about all the hatred that's going to come at us? You told us about we're going to be persecuted so that we can have peace? Yeah. I've told you these things that you might have peace, not because these things are going to happen, but because I've overcome the world. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. How is that supposed to be preached to us? Oh, let me bring some peace into your heart. Hey, guess what? In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Does that sound like a very peaceful thing? Jesus just left it there. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Wait a minute. I don't know about you, but tribulation and trials aren't something, you know, you go looking for when you want peace. So how does he make this sense? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What is it that he said that's supposed to give us peace? I have overcome the world. Not I will overcome the world. I've already done it. It's as good as done from God's perspective. The world is already overcome. The victory is already won. The wicked are already punished. All these haters of God, they might as already be writhing in agony in the flames of hell right now. From God's perspective, it's already done. And we're supposed to be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. You shall have tribulation. You know what? There is a day of vengeance. The Christian's day of vengeance is yet to come, and it's going to be executed by the Lord. There will be no canceling it. No threats made against it shall stand. In the meantime, we wait, we endure, and we rejoice, and we do the work of God. Let's go ahead and pray.